now the reading from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has come back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' The word of the Lord. Today on Mother's Day, I'm reminded of the mother Hannah from the text that Jake read. She was the mother of Samuel, the first prophet of the Old Testament. And from the age of 3 years old, Samuel lived with Eli, the priest, serving and ministering to the Lord at Shiloh, hearing the voice of God and responding. Hannah and her husband Elkanah would make the trip to Shiloh to offer their yearly sacrifice and to visit Samuel. He was the child who had been long anticipated, for Hannah was barren and had prayed for many years for a child. The Lord remembered Hannah, and she bore a son. Hannah remembered the Lord's action, and she dedicated this child to God. She said to Eli, "I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to God." Hannah and Elkanah love Samuel. And they had to learn how to love him with longer arms. Hannah especially loved Samuel and needed him to experience a mother's touch when she wasn't with him. She made him a special robe each year that Samuel wore when he worked alongside Eli, the priest. Samuel was far from home, yet secure in the love and embrace of his parents as he served in the handmade robe that symbolized their care and their love. Can't you just imagine it? Their touch and embrace settling over him each year as they smoothed the new robe over his shoulders, probably remarking on how he had grown from the past year, smoothing out the wrinkles as they celebrated being able to see and to touch their beloved Samuel. Hannah would have carefully taken measurements for the robe to be made for the next year. They would have to say goodbye, but the robe and their loving touch would remain with Samuel. This morning, we're also looking at another parent, a father with a younger son and an older son. This is a familiar story. The younger son decided he needed his inheritance right now. He did not want to wait for his father's death before inheriting what he thought was his. His father consented and probably needed to liquidate some assets so that he could give his son what he wanted when he wanted it. The son packed his bags with his portion of his father's current possessions, which was probably one-third of the father's assets. The elder son would have received two-thirds. The inheritance was the product of the father's hard work throughout the years. It was a symbol of the labor and the love, the sweat of the father for his family as well as for the others who relied upon him. The inheritance represented the very substance of the father's care and touch, much like Hannah's gift of a handmade robe to Samuel was a symbol of her loving touch. The NRSV translation that was just read uses the word property, but the Greek is more stark, and instead of property, the Greek word is life. The father sold off his life in order to fulfill his son's request. The son had no more need of his father's substance or life. The son departed with his heavily laden bags to travel far away from the one whose touch had cared and provided for him his entire life, who might have even helped him pack his bags for the journey. The son traveled a long distance to the far country, the place he longed to go, the place where he could do anything he wanted to with his full pockets provided by his father's property. He got to the far country, the country where life is fair and just. In the far country, you get exactly what you pay for. The younger son soon emptied his pockets. He squandered his property in wild living, as the Greek word describes his actions. in living in a way that will destroy one that is unsustainable. He spent the money on the one who was the most important to him, himself, and then he began to be in need. The money ran out. And as a good parent would have told him, a famine always hits. And you need to have a little savings put aside. He had no one connected to him in the far country that cared enough about him to give him this good advice, or to give him food when he was hungry but couldn't pay for it. This was perfect justice with not a single drop of grace. He got exactly what he deserved, at least according to the justice of the far country. The younger son came to his senses in the midst of the dehumanizing and religiously humiliating work of feeding the pigs. He remembered that his father's hired hands worked for a purpose, a person who gave them food enough to eat, and there were even leftovers. He remembered what life had been like in the past, living with his father. He remembered and he put his hopes in what could happen in the future if he went to his father. This gave him the ability to act now in the present. So he got up. He set off. Because he was dying from starvation, literally, and he could not live without the one who gave him life. He practiced his lines to himself. They were religious lines. They were penitent, and he hoped that they would be accepted. The younger son's hopes for his father's actions were puny. They were small. They were pint-sized in comparison to what happened. The father didn't wait for the carefully rehearsed lines, but ran to the son in a straight line, sure of his destination and purpose. He embraced him. He brushed off the memorized lines, and he kissed the dirty, weary, scared prodigal son. The father's actions don't end here. As glorious as these actions are, the father's joy needed some expression that others could see. So he told the servants, bring a robe, the best, probably the father's, because that would have been the best one. Bring a ring, put sandals on his feet, prepare a feast. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. Let the party begin. The father in the parable ran to the son. He embraced him. He crossed the bridge of hurt and shame and disappointment and fear and anger in order to touch and welcome and claim and honor and love and give when none of these actions were deserved or expected. The text doesn't tell us if the younger son was really truly repentant or maybe expected the actions as his due. The father doesn't need to know if his actions are deserved or not. That isn't the movement of the story. The movement is the father's and his desire to bridge the distance, to extend grace, to love the unlovable, to redeem the unforgivable, to touch the dirty and weary and cover it with a robe of love and forgiveness, compassion and care, making what is covered and clothed in the robe and the embrace more than he or she could ever be by their merits. Through the grace of God, we are alive where we were once dead. We are found where we were once lost. We are refined. We are embraced. We are transformed, remolded, and restored into God's new creation, not by our hand, but by the touch of the one who runs straight toward us, determined, purposeful, and without regard to distance, carefully constructed boundaries or the own awareness of our own brokenness. The older son's reaction sounds a little too close for comfort. He said, "I have done everything right and by the book. I followed the rules. I never left. I did what was responsible. Can't you see how good I am and how bad he is? Your actions to my brother are not justice. They are injustice, and they are not fair. Forgive him, but hold him accountable. Don't throw a party, and don't expect joy from me." The parable reminds us again the action is on the father's part, the father who came out to the brother, the older one this time. He came straight to him and listened. He said, "Everything I have is yours, and it always has been, but we must celebrate. This brother of yours has returned to life and restoration from being lost." Grace is a bit of a scandal and is never deserved, either for us or for the others beside us. God runs straight for us. God covers our fears and our scars, our inadequacies, our uncertainties, our arrogance, our bitterness, our failures with a robe and an embrace of grace. God puts a ring of family identity on our finger for all eternity. The question is, can we loosen our grip on our sense of self-justification? Can we lower our carefully constructed boundaries in order to receive the embrace that will change our lives forever? Amen.